1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, should be okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Joel, for allowing me the privilege of preaching here today. Being this sad sort of person I am, I know that from my records, I've now preached here in New Life over 1,300 times in my life. Each time I am totally reliant upon the Lord for his strength and his guidance. And so I'll bring this message this morning. I believe it's from the Lord, and I hope it'll encourage you. Encourage you in your faith and your walk with Jesus. Can we pray before I begin? Father, thank you for your wonderful word, the word that guides us, the word that strengthens us, your word that reveals your heart to us. And I pray, Father, now that as I preached this morning, your words will be preached, that people who are listening will hear your voice and not just mine. I give you praise and give you glory, Lord, for you alone are worthy of praise. Amen. I'm going to begin with a verse from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and it's chapter 3 and verse 18. The title for the sermon is Looking Back, Looking Forward. I thought that was an appropriate title for a day like today, when we look back at what has been past and what we have to look forward to. But the verse says this: But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Christian life is often compared to being a journey. We're pilgrims, we're aliens on this planet. Our real true home is heaven, and we're journeying there. But on the way there, we need to be transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this verse is saying that it's a gradual thing. We're being transformed from glory to glory. It's an unfolding work that God is doing in our lives. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do that work in your life and in my life. And I testify to the grace of God that I have experienced over many years, how God has transformed me. I am not the man I was when I first met the Lord Jesus. And anybody who knew me back then will probably be thinking, thank the Lord that the Lord stepped in. But individually, we're on a journey. You're on a journey with God, and God will deal with you in a different way to the way he's dealt with me. And just because I've done things in a certain way doesn't mean that you must, because God is the one who will guide us. He knows all about our characters, all about our emotional state and so on, because he created us. He formed us in our mother's womb, and he has a distinct plan and purpose for each of his children. So while God has transformed me in certain ways, and let me tell you, he's still transforming me, I'm still a work in progress, I'm not the finished article, I won't be until I'm called home. And then finally I'll be who God wants me to be. But individually, God wants to transform us. The big long word we use in theologies, it's sanctification, making us holy, making us, in fact, more like Jesus, as the Holy Spirit works to change our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our thoughts, everything about us, slowly but surely. Sometimes there's big changes, sometimes it's very, very gradual, but God is at work. He is at work individually. He's at work in our families. He transforms our relationships between spouses, between fathers and mothers and their children, and between grandparents and grandchildren. God is always at work. There is something happening all of the time. And sometimes you know you have to take that opportunity to look back to see that's how God has brought us through. So God transforms individually. He transforms families. He transforms churches. In the praise that Pastor Joel gave to me earlier, he talked of how this church has changed over the years. And those who've been with me on the journey know how it has been transformed from a very small, quiet church, just a small number of people, to a lively, exuberant, multicultural, multi-ethnic church of people who are loving one another and serving Jesus. And it's all been God at work, transforming this church, transforming the structures of the church, transforming the attitudes, transforming the priorities. So we've become not just a maintenance-only church, but we're more of a missional church, especially over the last few years as we begin to embrace what God has called us to do with our mission partners. God is transforming. So anybody who came in now, who maybe 10 years ago came into the church, they'll say, is it the same church? Yes, it is. But God has transformed us. And we look back and we see his hand with faithful men and women serving the purposes of God together, having a heart of compassion and love for one another and compassion and love to those who God has graciously brought into our assembly. So God transforms individuals, he transforms families, he transforms church. Our journey is a growing in growth in our relationship with Jesus. And that has to be the heart of our personal lives and church life. If we have to have that focus on the one who we are calling ourselves disciples of. We're disciples of Jesus. We are those who learn from him, learn through his word, learn through his example, learn through his teaching. And of course, that wonderful teaching, that awareness of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he wants to do, comes through the work, again, of the Holy Spirit, who the author of the word and the inspirer of the word can reveal the word of God to us, how we are then to apply it in our lives. We are transformed in our journey as God gives us gifts, spiritual gifts, not only the ones we sometimes think of from 1 Corinthians 12, the more spectacular gifts, but God gifts each of us in different ways. And as the Apostle Paul said, as church, we are a body being built together. We're not all heads, we're not all hands or arms. We are all fit together exactly as God wants us to be. And God will give us gifts as he wills. He looks for those, I believe, who have a desire to receive good gifts from God. And when he sees those people are willing to desire the gift and to use the gift for his glory, then I believe God gives gifts. When God sees people just wanting to imitate others, he will withhold the gift until our attitudes are correct in wanting everything from God for God, for his glory alone. So as we journey, God gives us different gifts. At different times in my life, I may have operated, if you like, using one gift or another gift. And the same will apply to you. The teaching gift, which I believe God has given me and has been recognized by people, I'm far more a teacher now than I was when I first started to preach. I was far more evangelistic and exhorting and so on and less teaching. But God has developed that gift within me, and I'm so grateful that he's done that. He's opened up such opportunities. Because that's what God does. As we look back, we can see God has opened up opportunities and developed ministries. There are people in this church who, and I won't name names because I'll bound to forget some, who I can remember being much younger and you thought, what is God going to do with them? And now they're involved with one part of aspect of ministry or another part of ministry, and they're running this group or they're running that group. And you say, yes, God has gifted them. You know, God saw the heart and the desire that they had to serve him. So there is always a place if you like, to look back, review how far have you come. And we can do again in personal situations, but also as church. When we review how far have we come, what obstacles have you overcome? And you look back and say, oh, how ever did we get through that? You know, that particular situation. And you see, God's hand was on it. And God was using different people to resolve situations or bring a victory. As you look back, you can see what God has done. You can see and remember the victories you've seen. When you see people develop in ministry, it's a victory. When you see people saved from the power of the enemy, it's a victory. When you see people who've been healed in response to the prayers of the saints, there's a victory to remember, to cherish, but also to be encouraged by that. If God has done that already, won't he do it again? For a different person, in a different situation. God is unchanging. But as you look at those victories, and you look at the lessons you've learned. I've had so many lessons I've had to learn, and I'm still learning. And as you look back and say, yes, I saw God, brought me through that situation for a purpose. In the middle of it, you were thinking, what is going on, God? Crying out to God like the psalmist did. Why God? Or Habakkuk, why God? Or Jeremiah, the same. Why are you doing this, God? But as we look back, you see, yeah. Our Father was disciplining us. He was teaching us, and it was tough, but it was worthwhile. We've learned lessons. As you look back, you remind yourself of the friendships you've made. And there have been many people within this fellowship and obviously in other churches who I would call friends, many friends in other churches in this town, as I've been involved with the churches together in Hemel Hempstead for many, many years. Friendships across denominational barriers, knowing that the same Holy Spirit's at work in them as is in work in us. So many friends, the friendships we've made, the Holy Spirit is, you know, sometimes you just meet someone, you just know you needed to meet that person. And God has brought something out there. Well, as you look back, you look and see the faithful hand of God upon your life. God's faithfulness is something that's been so important to me personally. Knowing that whatever situation I'm facing or have faced, God is faithful. As Pastor Joel mentioned, I've written a few books. The first one I wrote was on the faithfulness of God, because it's something that's so important. As we look back, we can see the hand of God faithfully guiding us and being with us. But we can't stay looking back. We can't live in the past. The victories we've won, the obstacles we've overcome, the lessons we learned, thank the Lord for them. But let's not dwell on them. There is a place, and I believe it's right today, that we begin to look forward. God is still transforming individuals, families, churches, situations. I want to say God hasn't finished with us. God hasn't finished with me and my family. God hasn't finished with New Life Pentecostal Church. In fact, I think he's hardly beginning. In the scheme of God's concept of time, we've only been around for, what is it now, just over 80 years. Well, that's nothing to God. He's got huge plans for New Life Pentecostal Church. Whatever the name was on the door in the past, with the same people, the same tradition, with Pentecostal believers believing for the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be with us and guiding us and empowering us and leading us on. God hasn't finished with us as individuals. In fact, God doesn't finish with you as an individual until he calls you home. God doesn't write off people when they get to a certain age. He doesn't say, well, you've reached the state retirement age, that's enough, you can just sit back and do nothing. God's still got to work for you. I'm still hanging on to that. The great example of Caleb, who at the age of 80 said, let me take this mountain. Now, I'm not 80 yet. I've got a good way to go, I know, but sometimes I feel like it. But God hasn't finished with us. Let's be those of us who are old, let's be Calebs. Let's learn from him. And of course, not only did he have the desire to do it, he did it. Because we can all talk the talk. I'm going to do this. Yes, I'll press. Let's do it. So individually, Until God calls you home, and we, none of us know when that's going to be, let's seize every opportunity that God places before us as individuals. But as a church, there is always more. There's so much more that God wants to do with this particular church, but with every church. No church is the finished article. No church has got it completely right. You know, people sometimes say, and I've said this a number of times, oh, if only we could be like the early church. And I look back and I say, well, the early church had so many problems. You look back at the church of Corinth, full of the Holy Spirit, and there's problems with incest and backbiting and division. Paul wouldn't have had to write those letters unless there were problems in the early church. No, I don't want to be like the early church. I want to be like the church that God wants for this generation now and for the generations to come. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit, but God is going to be working powerfully with us because there's still much ground to be taken. The enemy has won too many victories. He's still got too many people enslaved in his power, and God is calling us as a church to take more ground. Let's not just sit back and rest on laurels. We need to be going out, preaching the gospel, demonstrating the power of the gospel, seeing signs and wonders following the preaching. In the gospel, if we're not seeing that, then we're not Pentecostals. We should be seeing the signs and wonders that God has promised will accompany the preaching, the faithful preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as church, there is much ground to be taken. There are many souls to be saved. In every town, every village, there are those who God has chosen, those souls who are going to be saved. And I want this church, and I want myself, whatever I'm doing in the future, I will still want to be involved in seeing people set free from the power of the enemy and soundly saved and part of the kingdom of God, maturing, grounded in the word, and moving on, discipled and maturing as Christians. We need to see those souls saved. There are so many who are lost, even within 100 yards of this building, let alone across the seas with our mission partners. We want to see souls saved. We want to see disciples matured. It's no good just preaching for somebody, putting their hand up and saying, yes, I agree with you, Pastor. We want to see people who are grounded in the Word of God and following Jesus day by day, led by the Holy Spirit. And that takes hard work. It takes commitment from individuals. It takes commitment from those who are leading the church to mature and mentor younger people, middle-aged people, older people. You know, as disciples, we are always maturing. As I said, the Holy Spirit is transforming us day by day. Disciples to be matured, and there's more prayers to be answered. I thank God for the prayers he has answered in this church over the years. I thank God for the people he's healed. I thank God for the people he's saved. I thank God for the people he's provided for in the answer to prayer. But there's much more to do. There's many people still in need. We want to see the sick healed. We want to see those who are bound up set free. There's many more prayers to be answered through the prayers of New Life Pentecostal Church. I'm not saying we've got the answer for everything, but God has got the answer for everything. And we are a people of prayer. This is a house of prayer, and we need to continue to be so. And I know under the leadership of Pastor Joel, he is a man of a heart for prayer, a heart to seek the lost and to see souls saved. That is the heartbeat of Pastor Joel, that he wants us to be a missional church, and it's going to be, and we're going to see many souls saved. I am convinced of that. So as we look forward, we need to not look at just at our own resources. What have we got? We've got this particular building. We've got a certain amount of finance. We've got certain people. Let's look at it at God's perspective. What is God seeing? What is God seeing? God is seeing so much potential in each and every person who comes in. And each and every person who's viewing this broadcast now, have that perspective, God's view of your life. He has chosen you. He's wanting to equip you and empower you for works of service. He is more than able to do immeasurably more than you can think or imagine. That's not just me saying, that's what the Word of God says. He is able to do far more than we can think or imagine. You know, we need to be those then. We seek God's perspective on what our lives and how our lives should be developed. And there's ways that we can make Christ-centered plans for our lives. Commit ourselves that we will live lives which are centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, centered on obedience to the word of God. We know that for each of us, we are just like a breath. The time is short. God gives us, each of us, a certain measure of time. I won't read it, but Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Look it up later. Don't miss opportunities to do good while God gives you the opportunity, the breath you have. Don't miss the opportunity individually as a church. Press forward. Our plans as churches, we need to align them with God's will. You know, we have the reminder from James in chapter 4. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Well, how do we know the Lord's will? Through prayer, through seeking him, through reading his word. We need to align ourselves individually as church to do God's will. Set goals. Set goals to bring before God. Don't, as James is saying, you can plan all you like and you can set whatever goals you like, but if they're not in line with God's will, they will not prosper. They will not come to fruition. And all of us want plans to come to fruition, don't we? When we're setting those goals, we need to bring them to God and be specific. You know, so many people make very woolly plans where they're not going to hit a woolly target. You need to be specific. Come to God, Lord, this is a plan. I'm specifically asking, Lord, will you do this or are you saying no? And be prepared for God to say no. Be prepared to God say, no, I don't like your plan. Here's a better one. And let's have ears to hear what he's saying. Let's make plans which are positive, looking forward to what God is wanting to do. Set plans which, if you like, are measurable to some extent, that you can say that when you look back, yes, I have measured this situation and I am more powerful in seeking God. I'm seeing more souls saved. As a church, measuring how we are growing as a church, not only numbers, but as disciples. And sometimes you need to just write some of these down and just bring them to God and say, Lord, is this your will? Am I hearing from you, God? Am I hearing correctly? And then wait for the Holy Spirit just to come and say yes, no, or wait. And some of the plans of God may be for the future. And you need to have that patience to say, I will wait for your timing, Lord. I can remember as an early Christian, young Christian, I'd preached perhaps three or four times. And in my mind, I was the next Billy Graham. You know, that was me. My ego was, I could barely fit through the door. And so God put me on my back for several weeks with an injury. I couldn't do anything without the help of somebody else. And in that time, I remember clearly the Lord helping me and showing me, yes, David, you will preach the word, but in my timing. And it would have been, from that time, it would be 6 years before I took on a pastorate in a church. And in that time, there was a proving time, a learning time, a time of growth. But I wanted it now. And we all want things now, don't we? But let's ensure that we bring our plans or our wishes, our desires before God. Look forward to what God is going to do. Amen? We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit in everything. We need to commit our plans to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit your plans to the Lord. We have to do it. Isn't that what it says? Commit your works to the Lord, or your doings to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And that means you'll get a conviction in your heart. Your thoughts will be established. They won't be wandering and think, oh, is it this? Is it that? Should I do it this way? Should I do that way? When you commit your ways to the Lord and seek his guidance, I believe you'll get that assurance in your heart that, yes, this is the way to work in it, walk in it. And just a few verses further on in Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart plans his way. Don't we all do that? We all like to plan our way. The second half of the verse says, but the Lord directs his steps. I hope and pray that my steps are being directed by the Lord. I believe it's the right time to move on. I believe it's the right time for new leadership in this church. And I believe that as a church council, we've been, and as a congregation, we've been directed by the Lord to do this. We have made our plans, but we want the Lord's plans to be fulfilled in this church. Amen. And so we can look backwards, and we can look forwards, and look with hope. Because when we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us about the transformation from glory to glory, and that's wonderful. But it says in verse 5, a little bit earlier in that passage, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but, always take note when there's a but in the word of God, but our sufficiency is from God. We can make our plans. We can think we're self-sufficient. That's the worst mistake you can make. If a church thinks it's self-sufficient, as a person thinks they're self-sufficient, they're in trouble. We are not self-sufficient. Our sufficiency is from the Lord. And as church, we need to continue to look to God for our sufficiency. So we come to conclude. I come to conclude. This final message after, as over 1,300 messages. I'm hopeful that once we are out of lockdown, I'll be able to come back and we can say our proper goodbyes to everybody. And if I'm invited to preach, I would love to come and preach from time to time. And know God's blessing upon his word. So we look back and we give thanks for what God has done. We give thanks. I give thanks for friendships made. It has been a good 20 odd years here. There have been problems, there have been difficulties, we won't deny that, but God has brought us through. And friendships have been made and friendships have been strengthened, often through adversity. God strengthens our friendships. I give thanks for the good works already done in the lives of individuals and by individuals. By no means all me. In fact, very little of me. But it's the good things, the love and care and compassion that so many lovely, wonderful Christian people have done and helped and served in this church. So give thanks. Give thanks for what God is doing as a body, as the church. We give thanks for what he's done. I reflect again on God's amazing faithfulness to us as a church. When you read in the press that churches are closing, churches are having difficulties, God is adding to his body here. God is adding and has been adding to this church. We are seeing growth and we are seeing blessing. We are seeing people being anointed by his Spirit for works of service. We thank God for his faithfulness. But we don't just look back. We have to look forward. We look forward to a future, knowing that God has plans for each and every one of us. God has plans for you and for me. Don't think that God has overlooked you. Come to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then when he tells you, please, please, please do it. And God has not only got plans for us as individuals, but he's got plans for this church. And I believe he will ensure that those plans will be fulfilled. We know that God is always at work building his kingdom. Because the kingdom of King Jesus will always prevail, won't it? And the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. And we, in our small part in this kingdom, in God's kingdom, we will play our part. I just want to end with one final verse. And again, it's from 2 Corinthians, but a little bit later in the letter, in chapter 9 and verse 8. God's been encouraging through Paul the Corinthians for their cheerful giving and their commitment to supporting others. And Paul makes this amazing statement. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is able to make all grace, not a little bit of grace, but all grace abound. That's a big word, abounding to, not just a small handful of grace, but abounding toward you. He's writing to a church, individuals in the church, but as a church, as a whole. God's grace abounds to New Life Pentecostal Church. We will have, always have, all sufficiency. All sufficiency in all things. Isn't that wonderful news? Doesn't that give you confidence moving forward? That whatever God calls us to do, he will provide all that is needed, whether that's personnel, whether that's prayers, whether that's finance, whether it's more love, more compassion that's needed. He will supply it all. All grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, what? Can boast about it? No. May have an abundance for every good work. So everything that God has called you to, every good work of compassion and of mercy and of help and of preaching the gospel and of praying for people to be set free from the enemy, every good work, you will have an abundance. And I believe that's God's promise. As I move on, God is promising to New Life Pentecostal Church, he will supply through his grace, through his Holy Spirit, everything that is needed to move forward, to accomplish all he has planned for every good work to be brought to fulfillment. And I hope we can sit, or even maybe get out of your seat and say, amen to that. I want to see every plan of God come to fruition in New Life Pentecostal Church. Moving forward, new pastor leading, Pastor Joel leading. God has got plans for this church. God has got great plans. He's got great plans for our mission partners in India, in Uganda, for those we work with through literature in Pakistan. God has got great things ahead, and he will provide all sufficiency for an abundance. That's not a little bit again. An abundance for every good work. Let's be encouraged. Let's look back and thank God, but let's thank God for what he's going to do, because that's far more exciting than what he's already done. May you be blessed as you hear this word. Receive it into your spirit. Be encouraged as we move forward. Don't be sad that I'm moving on. There's no room for sadness. There's no room for tears. There's time to rejoice. Now God's going to do immeasurably more in the future than he's done in the past, and he is faithful to fulfill all his promises. Amen. Amen. May I pray with you for the last time. Father, I thank you that you have brought this church as far as you have brought it thus far, from its humble beginnings back in 1939 in a scout hut, to what we are now with links across the world. Lord, you've done so much, and we're so thankful and grateful for you, grateful for all the men and women who have served here, my predecessors who have served faithfully in the word, those who have helped in any way to further the cause of Jesus Christ through this church. Whatever name it had over the door, it's the same people, the same Pentecostal believers. I thank you for them, but Lord, I know that you have got so much more in store for those who are here now, and those you are going to bring in, those who are going to be saved, those who are going to be set free, those who are going to be discipled, those who are going to be healed. Lord, you've got so much more for New Life Pentecostal Church, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to hearing the reports of what is happening here, and I just pray, Lord, that everybody else is just as excited as I am about what is going to go on. I believe, Lord, you've told me that it's going to be amazing. I trust your word and your promise. May your will be done above all things, that we will indeed, this church, be transformed from glory unto glory. Amen. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Pastor David. As a long-serving pastor of the church at New Life Pentecostal Church, you have always planted seeds of hope, love, and you have truly made a difference in all our lives. And you have shown patience, imparted wisdom, and shared knowledge, and also given us encouragement. As today, as you have encouraged, you have been encouraging it us for the past few years, those who have been the members of this church. And as you enter into the new chapter of your life and the journey, and as you retire as a pastor here at New Life Pentecostal Church, we pray that God will richly bless you. May God watch over you. May He give the peace that surpasses all understanding. May He shower you with abundance in joy and in everything that you do. May you prosper as God leads you into the new venture. God bless you. And thank you very much for joining us. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, we have a farewell ceremony over Zoom. Please click on the link at 2 o'clock to join us and to show your gratitude to Pastor David, Kathy, and Sophie and Steph as we meet together at 2 o'clock again. God bless you. Thank you very much for joining us, and see you soon at 2 o'clock. Bye for now.